And good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this May 4th, 2023. Now, for you Star Wars fans, of course, it's the day. May the 4th be with you, right? And of course, that's the Star Wars. That's from Star Wars. Came out when I was 12 years old. I remember my cousin Bruce had the soundtrack on a record. That was old. Oh boy, that's been a few years ago. Anyway, right? That's what they send out. May the 4th be with you. Ha ha ha. Well, I saw a post from my niece today. A fine Christian woman, and on the ministry, and as good as they get, and a great Christian woman and mother, and she sent that also. May the 4th be with you. But there was a picture that accompanied it, and I wish I could show you the picture tonight. But it was four men in a fiery furnace. And the quote said, "May the 4th be with you." And I like that one better. I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm not the Star Wars nerd my children are. And that some people are, and I'm not going to name names, but I like that one better. May that fourth person be with you. And, you know, there's a song out along those lines right now, in kind of the whatever you call it, modern Christian songs, whatever, I don't know. But it's good to have that fourth man with us. That's the only way we get by, Remnant. That is the only way we have made it to May 4th, 2023. And that is because Jesus Christ is with us. That is the only way. So I hope that fourth man, may the fourth be with you on this fourth day. Well, let's pray. Well, Lord, thank you for this day, for this opportunity to be here, Lord, to be out in your beautiful world, and Lord, to be here. We know that we were created for this time, Lord, in this day right here, the remnant that you have here, that hear your word, that share your word, that Lord, are doing their very best to be doers of your word. And so, Father, we lift them up. I lift them up tonight for your blessings to be upon them, for your strength, for your mercy, Lord, for you to strengthen them to be able to stand, against the, Lord, the mess of the world that we just are so inundated with, Lord. As righteous Lot was just inundated with the sin of Sodom and how it troubled him, Lord. Lord, it troubles us today, and it troubles the remnant. But Lord, we see in your word in Jeremiah that you are going to send for fishermen, and they will fish for them. And hunters, and they will hunt them. And so, Lord, we ask for that, Lord. Arise, awaken your fishermen. Arise and awaken and arise your hunters, Lord. Let us be fishers of men and hunters of men, to glorify you, to share your gospel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray for your blessings on this broadcast tonight, that it is an encouragement to your people. That, Lord, it recharges some batteries, and that, Father, that it glorifies you, and that it praises you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the times that we're in, the perilous times. For, Lord, in it is drawing more people to you. Praise the Lord, and we thank you for that. And it gives us more opportunities to share your goodness and your truth and your hope with this hopeless world. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I read this out of Jeremiah 17, or 16, Remnant, Jeremiah 16, 16. He says, in verse 15, it says, "For I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers." Verse 16, "Behold, I am going to send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will fish for them. And afterwards, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain and every hill and from the clefts of the rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. And so see, he is doing that. He has done that, and that is happening today, fishermen and hunters for God. We have been called to do this very thing, to be fishermen and hunters, and to go where he says, and to hunt for them from every mountain and every hill, from the clefts of the rocks, because his people are scattered. Boy, that Pastor Peter's taught that and was able to explain that so much. You know, we always want to get together. Oh, if we could just live in a Christian community and this and that, and it just would not work. We think it would, but it wouldn't. And we are scattered. And right here in the Word, God says that you're scattered. But I'm going to send my hunters and my fishermen after you. And that's what we do, remnant. Okay, we've got the little pamphlet called Isaiah's Job. We ran it in the newsletter a couple years ago. We reprinted it. We've got them in stock, but it explains that. That's what God told Isaiah. Go and preach and teach my word and put it out there. They're not going to listen to you, but go do it, because some do. Some that are in the mountains and the cliffs and the rocks, they hear it. I'm seeing it in our ministry. I'm sure others are as well. The people are waking up. Verse 17, for my eyes are on all their ways. That means God's eyes are on the ways of his children, on Israel and Judah and their descendants that are in this new JERUSALEM today. And they are not hidden from my face, he says, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. He sees the sin in the land. You know, sometimes we cry out, oh Lord, how long? How long will this sin remain? And our God is patient and loving and kind. Just like he was for us, however many years ago, we had our eyes opened. And we changed and repented and were washed and turned away from the sin that so easily entangled us. Verse 18, he says, I will first doubly repay their iniquity and their sin, because they have polluted my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable idols and with their abominations. And you know, remnant, I think that that is where we are. If we're not there, we're awful close. Because I think that we are being doubly repaid today. In every aspect of our society, we thought maybe it would get a little better. It just gets worse. Our government gets worse. Our society gets worse. Matters of the family get worse. Education system gets worse. Our health in this nation has gotten doubly worse. I think almost every prayer request last night had to do with cancer, because it appears that it is almost everywhere. From 7-year-old boys to 89-year-old moms and all the families and everywhere. And it's not just cancer. You see in the headlines, I didn't bring them tonight. We've talked about them before, but, you know, a 32-year-old Olympian just dies. And a 52-year-old newscaster that, you know, has a great paying job and great health benefits and sure doesn't look to be obese, oh, just dies suddenly. And it's just part of the news today. Well, Remnant Live program tonight. Phone lines are open. Got some current events. Got several different articles on current events to talk to you about tonight, but the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And have you heard of FedNow is what it's called? FedNow. F-E-D. Oh, no, not like you've been eaten, but the federal, like as in the Federal Reserve, the central banking system, okay? FedNow, according to Andrew Zeitlin, world-renowned economic forecaster, Fednow's highest purpose is to kill the U.S. dollar as a fiat, as a paper currency. And so it's looking to launch in July. And basically, it is an instant payment service. Kind of if you have, if you have like Venmo, that takes a couple days to get to your account if somebody pays you that way. But if you have, I think Zella, is that what it's called? I think Zella crunches right through pretty quick, almost instantaneous. So FedNow from the Federal Reserve is an instant payment service that'll operate around the clock 365 days a year, allowing businesses and individuals to send and receive instant payments. Woohoo! Instant. So it's like Zella on a nationwide level. Okay. Says here, and I see we got a caller. Give me just a second. Let me read this. FedNow is a new real-time payment platform that would enable financial institutions in the U.S. to clear and settle transactions in virtually instantaneous fashion. It's kind of like, you know, how they pushed and prodded and built up 5G, right? So that our self-driving cars can talk to each other and we can, on our smartphone, talk to our smart house and tell it to turn on the smart dishwasher and blah, blah, blah. And it's all this pie in the sky stuff that's not here. And that's how I see this FedNow. So it's coming. It's coming. We'll see. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good evening and welcome to 7x7.
Hi, brother.
Hey. Good evening, Patrick. No drum playing in the background tonight.
Yeah, no.
How are things in Minnesota?
Nice day today. Spring is here for one more day, and then I think it's supposed to turn and go back the other direction, I guess.
Oh, unless you're going to get...
probably snow.
Yeah, unless you're going to get 20 degrees and 4 foot of snow, it's just springtime still. We're bouncing around, too.
I saw something posted. Now I know why it's called the month of May, because it may rain, it may snow, it may be 20 degrees, it may be sunny.
Right, it may be 70. That's right. Yeah, I got a bunch of vitamin D soaked up yesterday. Got my face and neck and ears all red. Was out fencing most of yesterday, and what a beautiful day. When the wind died down, it just was almost warm, up about 61 yeah. degrees, and it was really nice. So yeah, I am so pleased to have spring here, and it's sure good to hear like what you're saying that. It's warming up and we're getting into the garden a little bit and starting to see the robins and the birds and a little bit of green every here and there. And it's good stuff. It is. God is good to us.
Yes, he is. And all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we had, we just fell short of the record. We had like 80 inches of snow. Of course, up in the UP, that's normal. They may get 80 inches in a month,
Right.
Just got part of the garden planted yesterday. And
good.
Waiting for to be a little consistent in the warmth, maybe get some tomatoes and peppers out. So... yeah, it's good. It's good to be outside and got your hands in the dirt.
Oh, absolutely.
And whatnot.
Yeah, it is. I read an article this past winter, and it talked about some type of, I forget what it was, not pheromones, but almost like a serotonin type, something that is released when you are... when you turn the soil, when you're digging in the soil, whether it's with your hands or a shovel or even a disc and a plow, that it's just that smell. We all know what that smell is like, when yep. you drive by a newly disced field. They're preparing it for planting, and as long as they haven't sprayed it yet with the, you know, the Seed Ready Roundup and all that mess. But that new soil, that earth. I know I'm working on my hoop house. I've got new plastic up this year, and I got it kind of closed in, and got some garlic coming up. I put some garlic in last fall, and so it's starting to come up. So I've been watering it, and inside it there, and you know, turning it up a little bit, and oh, it smells good. It's a good smell, and yeah, to get your hands into it and get some dirt under your fingernails and it and feel that dirt on your hands. It just is. It is so. It's like going back to your roots.
yeah.
Didn't mean the pun there, but it is. You know, it is. It's what we were created for. You know, Adam was created and his progeny to tend the garden. And you know, whether mainstream people know that or not, then, you know, and that's what I thought this article did, was as it, you know, it says, oh, you know, the smell of the earth, it's encouraging and healthy for you and all that stuff, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's what we were made for. So, but I'm glad to hear you. Yeah, tomatoes and peppers. I've got a dozen. I did a dozen pepper plants from seed, and they're just getting going. They're only about an inch or two tall, so they're inside under the grow light. And but I'm hoping for some good peppers this year.
Yeah, I like peppers. Nice stuffed peppers. You know, yeah. You could make up your own tomato sauce with or use your own tomatoes and. Yeah, make a tomato sauce and stuff your own peppers. And
right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Patrick, let me ask you.
I like that.
Are you seeing more people? I know we've talked about it the last couple of years that we have seen more and more people, you know, gardening and doing chickens and things like that. Are you seeing more of that out in your, you know, you're a little closer to the big cities than some. Are you seeing more, you know, are you seeing more of that, you know, whether it's people gardening and doing that type of thing out in Minnesota?
Yes, and it's funny you should say that, because I just came in from outside, and the next door neighbor, his son, he's got built a raised garden bed, and he's got it out in the front yard. Nice. Where they had a tree cut down, and he's going to grow some tomatoes and some other stuff in there, and I talked to a lot of people. A coworker of mine, you know, he's asking, "How's your garden doing? How's your garden doing?" You know, and I'm finally running into more and more people that are, you know, in the cities that have a backyard garden. You know, you don't need the, the 20 acres of
right
land to, you know, to have a garden that, you know, produces enough for yourself and to give away to some neighbors and
sure
and things like that. But yeah, you start to see quite a bit of that. You know, I'll go to a local store here, and it's always packed. You know, a nice warm day, you know, they'll be in there buying seeds and buying this and buying that, and
right.
You run across people. Yeah, this is my first, or this is our first time gardening. You know, and they're picking up shovels and,
yeah,
and rakes and things like that. So, yeah, it's a good topic. You know, something to talk about other than, you know, politics and everything that's going on in the world. You know, it's just you know, it's like it used to be when I was growing up. My mother had a garden. You know, she gardened, you know, well into her 70s before she, you know, gave it up. But, yeah, so, you know, in a little town I grew up, everybody had a garden, you know, everybody.
Right.
So
yeah, that's how it used to be.
Yeah.
That's how it used to be. And, you know, we've talked about even back in World War II, everybody, they pushed and promoted what they called victory gardens, you know. It was a matter of survival, you know, that,
yeah,
you need to grow your own. And they did it in cities, parks, and places, and you know, we it worked. It worked. And we've gotten away from that. But I'm continuing to see a resurgence, you know, in people, whether it's gardens or, you know, big chicken runs, you know, 10, 20 chickens at somebody's house, 30 or 40. I've got a neighbor that I think she's got about 70 chickens. And, you know, and she's got a little egg business. They sell eggs.
Sure.
And I have to force her to take money when I get eggs from her, but we do, you know, we support her and a couple other neighbors that have extra eggs at times and do that and have some new neighbors that are I got one neighbor here moved, I've mentioned him before, moved out of California, and he's built a chicken run, you know, around an old shed, and he's going to convert that. He's got little chicks in the they're about a month old now, I guess, but you know, in the under the heat lamp and the big water bin, you know, converted and getting a run ready and you know, he's really getting into it, and it's good to see. It is. And and seeing hoop houses, sure. I'm seeing more little plastic hoop houses like I've got. My little one's only like 9 by 16, but I'm seeing more and more of those little greenhouses and hoop houses going up. Had another neighbor got plastic on a you know, had a raised bed, and this year put some mesh over it, some goat panels, and covered it with plastic to get started earlier. Our frost date is our last frost date is June 10th, so you gotta kind of keep things protected. You know, either in a little greenhouse.
I just checked our frost date. Our last frost date last night, and it was April 30th.
So. Yeah, so that's a big 6 weeks, but
yeah.
But it is good to see that, and I think that again, it's part of you know, part of people waking up, part of people saying, "Hey, I don't want to be dependent on those supply chain issues, not at all." And it's people saying, you know, I don't want that mRNA injected into my animals like they have been doing in Europe, and how they're wanting to do it here in the country. And so people are, you know, they're looking for different ways. And you know, you mentioned too about, hey, you don't need 20 acres. No, we've got a book even on I think we put it on last year, on container gardening, you know, that things like 5 gallon buckets, you can grow some taters now in a 5 gallon bucket. You really can. And, you know, whether it's on patios or, you know, inside, little plants inside on a couple shelves with a little grow light, if you don't have them, you know, right by a window type thing. You know, if you don't grow enough to pass out to all your friends and family, even if you get enough for yourself. I made omelets this morning for the family, and I've got, I think, a dozen onion plants in little, I don't know, 2-quart containers, and then a plastic, you know, so I can water them. And they're inside the house on the windowsill. And I was able to, you know, trim the greens up and use those onions in the omelet. Because these onions, you just can't put them outside yet. It's just too cold. So we're, you know, you do what you can. And so any little bit that you can do, it not only gets you that much closer to growing things and providing some of your own food, but it's good for you. It's like therapy, you might say.
Sure. Yeah.
It really
is. That's what
I
call my garden, my little therapy garden.
Therapy garden. You know,
I've been building it for probably about 9-10 years now. It's you know, it's a lot about you know, what Gabe Brown talked about. So it's kind of Gabe Brown-esque. You know, it's you know, basically a no-till raised bed garden, big square, and and then just add leaves and this and that, and then, you know, add a little bit of, you know, you can get, you can find bagged organic topsoil. It's
right.
Just it's basically compost is what it is, and just add it in, and this gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So
right.
I have one of the boxes I have, I raised it up because it's a little bit more ergonomic. You know, you don't have to get on your hands and knees, so it's about 30 inches tall, and so there's 30 inches soil on there, and then there's it actually sits on an old compost pile that's, you know, so there's an additional 20 inches underneath of it, so, you know, about 50 inches of growing soil there, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't need a lot of watering, doesn't need a lot of weeding, and it's ergonomic, and it just can kind of come home after a hectic day and you know, check on it, and I can just kind of be out there and minding my own business, you know.
So. That's right. That's right. And it is. I think that it gives us an opportunity to see God's blessings, to see how this little seed that was just whatever it may be, a cucumber seed or a squash seed or tomato, whatever, growing and flourishing and changing and producing. And when you can tend the garden a little bit, that's a good thing. And I'm sure glad that more people are looking to that.
Sure.
We've got a farmer's market. I don't think it opens till, I think, June. I don't think it opens before June, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, it is. We have a lot of local growers, but a lot of growers come up from Colorado, you know, heavy agriculture down there. And there's two or three pretty big ones that come up that are pretty good sized farms down there, you know, they bring, you know, peaches and corn and peppers and potatoes and carrots and just anything you could imagine. And I noticed, I think last year, two of them were advertising non-GMO. That's another thing where people are going towards it. It's just wanting to be as natural as possible.
They don't want, the whole concept of having, fish DNA in your tomatoes, you know, I think it just kind of puts people off.
Yeah, it does. I had somebody sent me a note. It reminded me of it anyway, on wheat, you know, and it was a person giving a talk, and you could tell it was like, you know, an old, it was probably from the 80s. And they were saying, I think it was a woman professor, but talking about how they changed, how the wheat changed in the 50s. How they genetically modified it to give a greater yield, right? To produce more.
Sure.
But it changed, the starches in it changed, the sugar level in it changed just a little bit, but the way the body looks at it, and she described, she said that since that change, and of course that's in 60-70% of the food that that's available to us to eat, and she said it affects the body like sugar does since it's changed. It wasn't like that before the 50s, but since then it's changed, and was liking it to, you know, one of the causes to the obesity in the land and the prevalence of diabetes and things like that, toward the unhealthiness of it, from a purely secular point of view. But you know, the Bible tells us, you know, that God says, "I'll do that. I'll make your, you know, I'll make your soil like what is it, brass, and and it won't yield. And so, you know, men have tried to work around that. And so it produces more and more quantity at a lower and lower quality. And that's what's happened. And, you know, you look at the big family farms are no more. Was talking with a lady today, Christian lady, and her grandson stopped by and got some hay from us, and repeat customers. I'm glad she brought her grandson, because he didn't have any problem with those hay bales. And but anyway, you know, and we talked about that, family members that have one of the big ranches out here that sold all the cattle last year. And now they're just trying to lease out a little bit and having to do some different things, because what our enemies have done, just like in the 80s, when they foreclosed on American farms, on family farms, the corporate farms weren't bothered at all. But the majority of the family farms, the larger family, multi-generational farms, were shut down. They were bought out. You know, they just were. And that's been a big change in what the quality of the food that is produced in this nation. More and more quantity, but lower and lower quality. And you know, these last several years, I think they're doing I know they have been doing the exact same thing for the American rancher, the rancher producer. The ranch that's been in the family. She was telling me about their ranches, the Johnson Ranch, the 99 Ranch, fourth generation ranchers. That's almost 100 years. You know, they settled this country out here, literally. You know, I mean, after World War I, before World War II, you know, they've been around that long and run out of business. And several that just I've seen just in this area, certainly Colorado's been full of them, from the people moving in to the, you know, oh, there's nothing wrong with all this beef coming in from Brazil, and just ignore the hoof and mouth disease. Don't worry about that stuff. And very similar to how the enemies of this nation, the enemies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all but got rid of the family farm in the 80s, we're living it. I'm seeing it happen to the family ranches over the last 20 years. You know, when we were raising, like I said, we sold all the cattle last year, but, you know, over the years, even when Pastor was alive, and he passed away in 2011, but for years before and after that, you know, we'd raise up cattle, and of course, fuel prices always went up, and hay prices went up, and feed prices went up, and taxes went up, you know, we'd take steers to the market, and you got a little bit less per pound every year. They just kept going down, down, down. You know, and when all your inputs go up, and you're, you know, whatever you can sell, you sell for less and less, that's a recipe for disaster. And it's been like that all over. It's like that in Missouri. It's like that in Central Florida. It's like that in Texas. We've talked about all the, you know, the way that the Texas and the cattle sell-offs that they've had. And anyway, I it's kind of a step from the gardens, but I think it's all tied together. It is that people are seeing these impacts to the food supply. And they're feeling, they know they have a responsibility to provide for their family. And they're stepping up to that responsibility. You know, my California neighbor and I, we had that conversation, I think, Tuesday afternoon, late Tuesday evening. And that, you know, we have a... And people are just seeing that, not because they've read it in the Bible, not because they've had their preacher tell them that, just because, guess what? That law is written on their heart. And And they just are doing it because they're seeing the situation is not a good situation out there, and so they're changing, and they're doing things different, and that's a good thing. It is. Acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and repenting and being baptized? And no, but it's rubbing the sleep out of their eyes. It's hearing the alarm clock going off, you know, whereas for the past generations, maybe their family hasn't heard the alarm clock going off. I mean, that's how I look at it, Patrick. I sure try to be optimistic. You know, everywhere we read in this scripture, you know, when you see, just like God said, hey, my eyes are on them. I see, you know, is my hand so short I can't save? You know, he tells us that. He says, but guess what? I'll first doubly repay them for their iniquity. You know, we don't get off scot-free. You know, like Pastor said, there's no free lunch. There's no free lunch. You know, you want to build a garden? It's going to cost you a little bit. You want to turn away from the world and admit that you were wrong and, you know, look at scriptural things? And guess what? It's not easy. It's not free. You have to pay that price like the wise virgins did, right? They had bought their oil. They had paid the price, whatever it was, to get that oil so that they would be ready for the bridegroom. And the foolish ones, it's good enough. Meh, we're okay. Until the time came. And then they were left out in the cold. And
that similar type of event is coming, you know. There's a lot of people that I've been running into and you know, meeting they know something's coming. You know, you can see it. You see it in the air or smell it in the air. Hopefully they want to see it in the air. But, yeah, and contrails, yeah. But there's a lot of people waking up, you know, and you can see how the people are divided, you know, like I said the other night, you know, the sheep from the goats, and you see it that in, you know, in our politics and our in our the culture, what's going on, and this and that, and some people are perfectly fine with it, and some people are just saying no, we're not doing this, you know, they're getting angry, and they're doing something about it. They're talking about it with their friends, and
right.
And
they're not buying Bud Light anymore.
No.
You know? They're not. They're saying Yingling. Yingling, what is that? Oh, Yingling, the oldest brewery on the continental United States. You know, yeah. Funny name. It ain't China beer. But
yeah, no.
You know, but people are, you're right. See, people are doing that. They're and a lot of them, they don't realize why. They don't. I might have mentioned it last night, but this I saw it earlier in the week, and I call them my Judeo friends. I go to a Tuesday morning prayer breakfast with four or five men, and they're Judeo Christians. They are salt of the earth. You know, give you the shirt off their back. They love Jesus Christ, absolutely. You know, they just, you know, if they, a couple of them get our newsletter, but they don't talk about it a lot. But they, but we had mentioned we were talking about this. I guess this guy J.D. Sears or somebody. You know, he's an online kind of guy, whatever.
Yeah.
And kind of redheaded, long hair, redheaded beard, and he was talking last week about how polarizing the evil of the day is. And he said, you know, as we see the evil of the day grow in our society, in our schools, in our churches, in our government, in all aspects of our life, the evil growing, you know, it attracts a few people to it. But he said, you know, the majority of people it pushes away. It polarizes. It pushes them away from it. Because, you know, the majority of people are saying, hey, I don't want anything. That's evil. That's wrong. I don't want to be associated with it. I don't want anything to do with it. And, you know, when you move away from evil, guess what direction you're moving in? You're moving in a good direction when you're moving away from evil. You know, you're moving toward God, whether you know it or not. And that's what he said. You know, he said, hey, he said, there's more people moving to Christianity and they don't even know it. But it's by their fruits, by their actions. And see, it reminded me of, you know, when you have a couple magnets. Remember we used to have magnets in school and they got a positive end and a negative end, or north and south, or whatever they call it. And boy, you get the opposing ones together and you can let go of one and you can just push it away without ever touching it with that other magnet. And that's what these evil doers are doing, whether they're doing it out of ignorance or whether they're doing the will of their father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning. And so, you know, they mean it for bad. They mean it for evil. But we know from the story of Joseph, when he told his brothers that, hey, you meant all this for evil. Yeah, lying about me, throwing me in the pit, hating me, wanting to kill me, selling me into slavery. Yeah, brothers, you meant it for evil. But I forgive you. And God used it for good. And, you know, what a story that is. And so I can see that in the land today. You know, that the more evil it gets, the more I got I got some headlines here. Maryland governor signs a bill giving abortion and child transgenderism legal protection. So your six-year-old Billy says he wants to be Mary, you can take him to the doctor. Heck, the government will put you in jail if you don't, and let his male parts be cut off, and then give him female hormones to totally screw him up. And the government will put you in jail if you don't. This is legal now. You bastard Maryland governor. You're going to rot in hell if you don't repent of this kind of stuff. But this is just what's in the land today. You know, because the people just love the evil. But the more governors do this, the more people stand up. You know, the more filth they put in the schools, and filthy stuff in junior highs. Oh, not going to give examples, but horrible stuff. And the more they do that, the more parents say, not my child, and they pull them out and they homeschool them. See, they're pushed away from that evil. They're revolted by it. This family that came today, they're actually fourth, like a different branch of that 99 ranch I was telling you about. And the young man, Wyatt, was helping me load the hay. And so I asked him, I said, Wyatt, what do? You going to school? You in school? Yes, sir. Homeschooled, though. Put a smile on my face. And I told him, good job, buddy. Good job. I said, we've graduated 8 of them from homeschool here in the last 22 years. And I said, and they've done quite well. Got a journeyman welder, got a helicopter pilot in the Army, a Navy medic, a cowboy. You know, the sky's the limit. And I told him that. I said, you do anything you want to do. And, you know, it's encouraging. And you see that. And I'd never met him. And I only know his grandma just because they've come and, you know, they live about 8 miles up the road. They've come and bought hay from us before. And, anyway, it's encouraging that we see this, whether we see people, you know, my neighbor down the road, they're putting in a 24 by 40 greenhouse, hoop house, 24 by 40. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
You know, but it is encouraging to see that. I met a family Saturday over at a different volunteer fire department's fundraiser, and they live about 20 miles out of town, way up out in the country. And I asked her, it was her and her husband and two children. I said, wow. I said, does the school bus come way out here? And I was fishing. And she said, oh, no. And I said, well, dang, you have to drive them into school every day? And she said, no, we homeschool. There came that smile again, right?
Sure.
Awesome.
Our daughter is homeschooled.
Amen.
So she's 8th grade,
amen.
I think. Yeah, 8th grade. Reads at the 11th grade level.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know.
Yep.
And read stuff that she'd never learn. She would never learn in school because you know, our schools are just like our farms are industrialized.
Right.
You know, we just need to push them through, You know,
that's right.
It's quantity, not quality. So, yeah, I've met, you know, getting to meet people here and there. So, yeah, we're homeschooling our children.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't like what's going on.
That's right.
In the schools. You know, Hastings, Minnesota, this little south of here, they basically had a revolt. The parents got so up in arms, they went to the school board. And they're raising heck so much that some of the school board members quit, and they had to have a special election. And so, well, thankfully, they had, they have a conservative majority on their school board now. So,
sure. See, it's waking people up.
Yeah.
It's waking the remnant up, you know, because for the most part, you know, our people are live and let live. You know, they're like, hey, I'm not going to mess with your life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness. Just don't mess with mine. That's how the majority of our people are. But
Yeah. But
the enemy's not that way. The enemy says, no, you will recognize me, and I will recruit your children because they can't reproduce. They have to recruit.
Sure.
And so they get, you know, they are not live and let live. They aren't. I saw this article, and man, we're running out of time here, but I saw this article. Maybe I'll get to it next week. The world, back in 2019, the World Health Organization stopped classifying transgender people as having a mental disorder. Now, see, some people rejoiced at that. But see, what that says is that, you know what? Up until 2019, the World Health Organization recognized what the World Psychological Association had recognized since that entity formed in the 20s that transgenderism was a mental illness. I saw a deal the other day. Somebody asked her, what do they have these little, it's not Siri that's on your phone, but they have it at home. Is it it'll play music for you, answer questions. It's like, what do they call it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have one.
I don't either. But I've had people mention it. So somebody sent me a link and they, you know, it was whatever. Why is so-and-so, dressing as a woman? Something like that. You know, why is this man so-and-so dressing as a woman? Well, so-and-so suffers. The computer answer was, so-and-so suffers from transgenderism, a psychological mental illness, and then it goes on to explain it there. And so, you know, it's like Pastor said, the crazies are running the nut house. When you're the only sane person in the nut house, And that's where we are. Everything around us is absolute insanity. And these people, you know, I don't know who's more crazy. I was talking with some of my firemen last week, some men around, just men in the community, half a dozen of us. And they were talking about in the elementary schools, they have furries. They have these children that dress up like dogs and cats. And they have to call them. The teachers have to call them by that, by their cat name or dog name. And they have litter boxes for them to go pee in. And I told them, I said, who's the crazy person here? The child or the adults that go along with it? It's absolute insanity that the people go along with it. You know, it's a mental disorder. Now, I'm all, you know, I'm not saying shoot them, but you don't promote it. You know,
sure.
You don't enable
it. They're enablers.
Yeah, you don't enable it. You know, you don't enable a murderer. Well, I was born this way. I just have to cut people's throats. Well, okay. We'll let you into the kindergarten. No. Well, Patrick, thanks for calling me, and I am out of time. Thank you so much. Had a great time fellowshipping with you, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Patrick. God bless, brother.
God bless.
And Remnant, thank you for joining. Sorry we didn't have time for more calls, but come back Saturday morning. Coffee with the Wrangler, 7 a.m. Mountain, Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll be here. Be glad to take your call and have some good fellowship and praise to the King of Kings. Hope you'll join us Saturday morning. We'll talk to you then.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.